We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast today, and we want to invite you to come out to our services this weekend. I'm going to be preaching on Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, we were celebrating our church's 63rd anniversary. This coming Sunday night at 6:30, we have a missionary that is going to be with us. They're going to be sharing. We love our missions program at the church, and so we're looking forward to that. It's a missionary we've never met before, but we are looking forward to the call of God on their life. So come and be a part of that. This coming Sunday, I'm going to be preaching in the morning service, 10:30. Would love to have you come out. Yesterday on the broadcast, we were talking out of Acts, the fifth book in the New Testament, 10th chapter, 38th verse. We began to talk about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We talked about that on yesterday's broadcast. I'll get the reference right today. That's Hebrews 13:8. We believe that is something that is available for us. And so this week we are going to be believing that God is going to set the captives free. And so if you are battling anything, we encourage you to come out and join with believers of like faith, and we are going to pray and believe that God is going to set you free. You know, there's a scripture that said, you know, when I read this passage here, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It talks about healing all. There's a couple of passages of scripture that come to mind, and that is that he would walk into villages and he would heal everybody in that village that was sick or infirmed. And I look at that and I see that as the norm. And then there's another reference where he talks about that he was not able to do many miracles in a particular place because of their lack of faith. It wasn't because of there was an inability or a lack of desire in the heart of God. They just simply couldn't believe that God was able to do anything there. And it actually put shackles on what God was able to accomplish in their midst. We don't want to do that. That's not what we're looking to duplicate. We are looking to believe God for great and mighty things. And so when we are in our service on Sunday morning, we are going to be worshiping him, because it says in Psalm 22, he's enthroned on the praises of his people. We want his presence to come, because we want to see the devil defeated. We want to see people set free. Those who are infirmed be healed in Jesus' name. I was reading in my personal devotions here about a week and a half or so ago, and it was talking about, goodness, I got hung up on finding the time there. My goodness. Let's move on to another thought, and I'll come back. It'll come back to me here in just a moment. Let's begin reading in verse number 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And so it says, we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. And so Peter starts with everything that Jesus did. He talks about his relationship with God the Father and how he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and how he went about doing good and healed. He set everybody who was under oppression, he set them free. And then it says he didn't do that in secret, but we are witnesses. By the way, in Acts, the first chapter, let me take you back to Acts, the first chapter. And it says in verse number 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons for which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so you, in the first chapter of Acts there, it tells how that God wants us to be witnesses. He told them that they would be witnesses of everything, you know, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and they would be witnesses for God. I don't want to be a witness that undermines God's case. I want to be a witness that testifies of the greatness and the goodness of God. God didn't do things in secret. God did things that demonstrated his divinity so that people could go out and take that message. When you go to church this weekend, you are not just there to hear something that you can go home and feel good about because you heard it. You are there with the intent. It's God's purpose for you to hear something that you can go out and testify to. In Acts, the 26th chapter, Saul is on trial before King Agrippa, and he says in verse number 14, and when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things of which you have seen and of the things which I will yet to reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. There are some people who are under the impression that they could never be a witness for Jesus Christ. And some of that may be because of the way that we have sought to define witnessing, and that is going out and talking to complete and total strangers who we really don't have a relationship with. And listen, I've done that. We've had people that have prayed with us to get us off of their door. But we've also seen people give their heart to Jesus and return back to the church that they had once been a part of. They had become detached, and they restored that relationship, and we rejoiced in that. And here's the thing. Whenever God has asked us to go out, and you know, we do like to function in God's timing, whenever we have gone out and done a ministry project, rarely do we see fruit that comes in directly from that, you know, as far as people being added to our specific congregation. But we have seen kingdom growth, and we see God adding to our church from other directions. See, too many times we get myopic and get narrow-minded in our focus, and God is able to bless us in innumerable ways. One time we had a person, and he came, and he was operating. He was up there worshiping, and he said, God, I just prophesy that finances would begin to pour into Merit Assembly of God upon this roof. And a couple of things that I will tell you was it wasn't long after that that we started getting checks in the mail from people that we didn't know. It was at a very difficult season financially in the church, and finances were coming in. But even a more applicable fulfillment of that particular prophecy was not long after that, there was a man who gave his heart to the Lord, and he was a roofer. He replaced roofs for a living. And he looked around at our church and he said, do you need a new roof? And I said, yes, we do. And what he did was we bought the materials, and he put a new roof on our facility. And it's been absolutely marvelous. We added insulation up on top, and so it helped the climate and the atmosphere, and keeps our sanctuary a reasonable temperature. And he did that. He said, this is a $50,000 job, and it's only going to cost you the amount of the materials. That's a significant blessing. That happened right before. Now get this. That happened less than 5 months before all the hurricanes came through here in 2004. If we had had the old roof on there that had a few leaks in it, it could have been devastating what took place when those hurricanes came through. But guess what? The hurricanes came through, and not one leak. There wasn't any damage done whatsoever. And so witnessing is not, I don't know how I got sidetracked on all that, but anyway, witnessing is not just going out and knocking and just sharing a rote message, a rehearsed, memorized script or whatever, but instead it's building relationships with people. In Acts chapter 26, Paul said that Jesus told him that he would make him a minister, which is a religious word, which means servant. Okay? I am a servant. I'll help you. Minister means servant. Deacon means servant. And the word pastor means shepherd. So whenever you think that they're fancy religious titles, there are titles there, but I rarely do I ever go by the title Reverend. Am I a Reverend? Yes. But I much prefer being identified by function, and that is I serve. I pastor. I try and help people. I try and inform people so that they can act. And so Paul said, Jesus told me that he would make me a minister or a servant and a witness. Okay. You may not be called to vocational ministry, but you are called to be a servant. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And you and I are to follow his example. But we are also all called to be a witness. And I'll share another aspect. Here is what Paul was told to witness about. He says, I will make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. And so those are two things that all of us can do, because all of us have seen things. My wife and daughter were watching something the other day when I came home, and we were sitting there and they were watching it, and they were showing us the things that we failed to perceive. It was a program called Brain Games or something like that. And they were talking about all of the things, and we get so focused on certain things that we end up missing other things that are taking place around there. You've seen the goodness of God a lot more than what you may think that you have. I believe that when we get to heaven, that one of the things that is going to take place is we are going to become aware of all of the times that God stepped in, intervened, protected us, and we weren't aware of it. One of the perfect examples that I have of sharing this is one Wednesday night, my daughter and I were driving home from church. She was in her vehicle. I was in my vehicle. And she was in the left lane. I was in the right lane. And we're sitting at this red light. And all of a sudden, the light turns green. And there was cars next to her that were going to be turning left. And so they started. But all of a sudden, they stopped. And my daughter never realized that they had stopped. And even though she had the green light, so she just went on through the stoplight. Or not the stoplight, she had the green light. But what she didn't know was that there was a person that was going south on Courtney Parkway, and they weren't stopping at their red light. So they swerved to the left to miss the cars that were turning to go north on Courtney. They swerved to the left to miss them, and then they hit a sharp turn back to the right, and they just barely missed my daughter's car. I saw what was taking place, and I had hit the brakes, and I mean, it's just long enough that you've got a chance to say, "Oh God, protect," and that's about it. That's how fast it was. The car was blowing through there at a high rate of speed. They almost ended up in the Dairy Queen accidentally. They just almost lost control of their car. But they protected my daughter. We got home, and I went up, and I just hugged my daughter, and she's like, "What in the world is wrong with you?" And I said, "Baby, you didn't ever see that car, did you?" And she said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And I began to describe her, "Listen, there are sicknesses and diseases that the devil was not allowed to bring into your life. There were times that he wanted to destroy you, and God stepped in and prevented him. There were people that came to steal, to kill, and destroy, and God stepped in and said, no. When we get to heaven, we're going to see the provision and the faithfulness of God. All of a sudden, he's going to be pointing out things to us that we never had beheld before. But until then, let's be witnesses of the things that we've seen. If you've seen a drug addict transformed by the grace of God, testify to that. If you've seen a broken marriage restored and healed, testify to that. If you've seen somebody that had a heart condition and God healed them, you testify to that. If you've seen that which was dead come back to life, testify to that. Testify to the things that you've seen. In another passage, it also says that he would testify to the things that he had heard and the things that he would hear. That's why, you know, I'm not ashamed to share somebody else's testimony. If they come up and they share a testimony, like at our district council in the month of May, we heard a powerful testimony. I'd heard it before. I was reminded of it again. And whenever you hear that testimony, you just want to share it. You just want to share it. You see, not every testimony is, I didn't go through difficult waters. Sometimes the testimony is, I went through the most challenging season of my life, but God was with me, and he used it for his glory. Testify to the things that you've seen, to the things that you've heard, and to things that God is going to reveal to you. You can be a witness. You can be a witness. So we're going to go back here to Acts chapter 10 again. He says, "And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree." Okay, if we are commanded to speak to people, we cannot minimize the work of Jesus on the cross. The cross is essential. It is the focal point. Okay, now let me thank God for all of the healings and all of the people who were set free and all of the good things that were done. But if we take the cross out of that, then all we have are good things that have no eternal value. They've just made us more comfortable for a season. It is the work of the cross that prepares us for an eternity with Jesus. Jesus went to the cross because he loves you. It is not that he came exclusively for healing and not salvation. He didn't come exclusively for salvation and not for healing. He came for both. He came for both. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The soul that sins shall die. Those are all scriptures. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for you and for me. And so it says, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And so not only is the cross important, because if Jesus died upon the cross, but he stayed dead, there's no miracle there. It is because he triumphed over death, hell, and the grave that the liberty is ours. He came to set the captives free. He rose from the dead. That death is the final enemy. It is the enemy that affects every person on the planet. It affects rich and poor, tall and short, every ethnicity, male, female, young, old. It affects everybody. Nobody enjoys it. Today, we are going to be celebrating the promotion of a lady into the presence of the Lord. She loved Jesus. She was a woman who prayed. So I want to thank God, because if there had not been the resurrection of Jesus, then we would have, the scripture says, no hope. We would have no hope that we could be raised from the dead. The modern atheistic view is that once you die, that's all there is. Jesus' testimony is, because of who I am, you can live also. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he's alive, we have hope and confidence that one day we will be raised from the dead. And so, I have a position. I believe that Jesus could come back at any given point in time. I believe we're closer, not just because time has elapsed, but we're closer because things that are taking place in our society are lining up with the fulfillment of God. But if Jesus does not come back before I die, I have already told my wife. I said, I want you to bury me. I want my grave facing the eastern sky, because it says he's going to part the eastern sky, and that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so I said, as my last testimony, I want my grave facing where he's going to be coming, because if I die before he comes, I want my grave to be opened. I want it to be a last testimony to everybody around here. Jesus lives. He is not a figment of imagination. He is a historical person who came on divine mission, because he is the Son of God, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He came to triumph over the enemy that held everybody on the planet in fear. And that was death. It is the last enemy to be destroyed. He holds the key. As a Christian, your grave is equipped with a spiritual ejector seat that says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I do not have to live in fear of dying because of what Jesus did. And it says, after he was raised up, he showed himself openly, not to everybody, but to witnesses that God had chosen. It was actually, he was seen by hundreds and thousands of people. And it says, and there were some of us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. The thing that I really like about the resurrection is that Jesus did things after the resurrection he didn't do before the resurrection. The disciples were shut up in a room, and he went in to that room where the doors weren't open and the windows weren't open. He was able to get through barriers that had been established to keep people out, and Jesus came through. Today I want to close this Friday broadcast, and I want to declare to you the resurrected Christ. If you have never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, then have I got good news for you. He didn't just come to heal your body and then you end up being eternally separated from him anyway. He came to restore your relationship to God. Everyone has sinned. I have sinned. Every person you know have sinned. If you come to Merit Assembly of God, you will not find a perfect person, I assure you. Every person has blown it. And Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin so that we could be reconciled to the Father. Won't you accept his invitation today? But the other thing that I want to share with you is this. No matter how shut up you are, you could be in prison, you could be in a hospital room, you could be a shut-in all by yourself. Jesus knows where you're at, and he can get to where you are today. Let me tell you, he is the resurrected Savior. His arm is not short, nor is he weak. He can get to where you are and bring you joy like you've never known before. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for anybody who may be listening to this broadcast. God, if they have never heard that Jesus died upon the cross to save them from their sins, I pray today that they would realize how much you love them in doing so. God, I also pray for anybody who may be feeling isolated or alone or cut off, that today the presence of the living God would flood their home or their room, Lord, and they would know that you love them, that you care for them, encourage them, build them up, Lord, today in faith like they've never experienced before. And God, for all of us, I pray that you would equip us to be witnesses in our day, in our community, to the resurrected Christ. We give you the glory for it. Come see us this Sunday, 10:30. Till then, we'll see you Monday on right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.